Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We're going to look at the market this morning. Mike Barker's on the line with us. He's a regular on this program. He's with Investment and Retirement Management. Mike's a chartered retirement planning counselor. He's a certified fund specialist offering securities to Linsco Private Ledger, member of NASD and SIPC. Good morning, Mike.
Dave, good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And, you know, usually when we start off, I ask you about, well, what's your take on the market all this week and et cetera. So I thought I'd ask you a different question. And basically, about the time we wind up this conversation, we're going to be getting the jobs numbers and the unemployment numbers coming up. That's, as I said, right directly after we get off this program. Any expectations as to what those numbers are going to be?
Not really. I would think they would be somewhere around consensus this time, and I don't have the consensus in front of me here, but I think it's around 120,000.
I think it's just below that. I just looked at it as 115, just over 115,000.
Okay, and be that as it may, I don't put a whole lot of stake in this report anyway. I think folks just get way too disjointed over this thing or too excited or whatever the case may be every month, mainly because, number one, this thing is notorious for revisions, and sometimes the revisions are pretty big. Secondly, the range of error in this report itself, even admittedly by the Labor Department, is pretty big also. So, and again, let's say the expectation is 115,000. If it comes in at 90, a lot of folks will get all bent out of shape over that, and headlines will say, you know, job growth weaker than expected and all that sort of thing, which technically is true, but that doesn't mean it means anything. And if we get a number, say 150, the headlines will say more jobs created than expected, stronger economy, you know, whatever else they want to put on it. And again, technically, it's true, it's better than expected, but it doesn't mean anything because the error range in this thing's so big. To me, on any sort of intermediate-term basis, the only way this report could mean anything, in my opinion, is if it were much below expectations or much above expectations. And that brings up another whole set of questions. So, I don't get bent out of shape about this report much either way anymore.
Of course, a lot of it could mean just the forecasters weren't all that accurate that week for whatever reason.
Yeah, and don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying jobs in this country aren't important. They clearly are. They're really important. I'm just talking about this particular report and how folks seem to get so disjointed over this thing in the short term. It's not that accurate to begin with. I find it somewhat comical that they think they can give us an accurate reading on jobs creation in this country to the degree that so many market participants react to this. If you follow me there.
Sure,
so
sure.
Again, it to me trends are important with this, and numbers that are drastically different than expectations. Anything like that, and then it's a little different ballgame.
Mike, we need to jump in here. It's time for a break. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to pause, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Mike, back to the job numbers that are going to be released here in just a little while. Is this going to be a good news, bad news kind of a situation when this news is released tomorrow? I mean, if the numbers are well over expectations, isn't the market expecting the Fed to be dropping rates when they meet a little bit later this month, and aren't they going to see that as bad news then and the market's going to drop?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think that is as difficult a thing to get a handle on here right now than it has been in a long, long time. And it's because, and it's what you're getting at there, Let's just look at two scenarios real quickly. Again, let's say the expectation is 115. Let's say we get a number that's 200,000, you know, or 220 or something, now, which I don't think we'll get. But let's say we were to get that, you know, lots of jobs creation, and I think you're accurate in saying that the market seems to have priced in and seems to be expecting the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates on the 18th this month. And if we get a number like that, would that take the Federal Reserve off the table again and take away any chances of an interest rate cut because jobs are so strong? And would that be viewed as a positive or a negative? In this market, I would like to tell you I have a better feel for what's in play here, but I've also told you over the years, I'll be honest, and right now, that's hard to say how the market would react to that. And then let's look at the other scenario. Let's say that there are no jobs created or just a very, very low number. Would the market look at that and say, okay, now we have jobs slowing. That could hit the consumer. That could hit the economy. And that'll give the Fed a clear shot to lower interest rates, maybe even more than a quarter percentage point, you know, maybe even a half percentage point or even more. And if that's the case, then we're going to get the benefits of lower interest rates, and boy, that's great news. So, or will the market look at a number drastically lower than expectations and say, oh no, we're in big trouble now because jobs are really slowing down and consumers are going to be hurt, and you know, on and on it goes, and boy, that's a problem. So, it's tough, and the reason I think a lot of people want to talk about how psychology is just not that big of an issue in the market, and I just cannot disagree with that more. We're in an environment now, I think, where the psychology of the market and of the economy in general is as important now as it's been in a long time, and all these things will sway that one way or the other.
I see. Mike, how much weight do you think the Fed puts on these numbers that are coming out today anyway? I mean, it's 1 month. Even, like you say, if it's dramatically high or dramatically low, that would mean something. It wouldn't seem like they put a whole lot of store in this anyway.
I think you're right. I certainly don't put much weight on this report anymore and haven't for a long, long time. Now, if you're a trader and you want to really, really look short-term, if you think you can get an edge on this thing, I mean, it's like I was just illustrating. If you told me right now what their numbers were going to be, I'm still not sure I could tell you what to do with the number, and I'm not sure I could tell you what the market reaction will be. And the way this report has seemed to be lately, whatever the short-term reaction is, you tend to give it back in a few days anyway. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But yeah, to answer your question, I don't think the Fed puts much weight on this at all, unless it's just a dramatically big or small number. If it's a big upside number, I think it would add a pretty good bit of weight, especially with the retail sale numbers we saw and the productivity numbers we've seen recently. It would probably pretty much take the Fed off the table, I think, for a while, because I think it would be difficult for them to lower interest rates if jobs data, retail sales data, production, productivity data, if those data points continue to look pretty favorable and pretty strong. If I'm the Fed, I'm probably sitting there saying in meetings, you know, if things are so horrible, why is the data so good? So I think it's a valid question as to whether they're going to put a lot of weight in this, and unless it's some dramatic number, I don't think they'll put much weight in it at all.
Uh-huh. Mike, we saw the Fed Beige Book. It was released earlier this week. It seems like some of the comments in there, I guess the turmoil in the market, it didn't seem like they put a lot of store in that affecting anything a whole lot one way or the other. What if anything, does that mean, and how did that affect the market?
Yeah, I don't think that report carries a lot of weight yet, mainly because we really haven't had enough time, I don't think, for the things that would cause that report to be really important. I don't think we've had enough time yet let me back up. I'm about to talk in circles here. Let's say that the problems we've seen in the credit markets lately with homes and mortgages and what's going on in commercial paper markets, as an example, in the corporate arena. And we've talked a lot about the bond market and how certain parts of the credit markets are pretty much stopped or operating at very, very low activity levels. If those things are becoming big problems in the economy, my point is I don't think we've had enough time yet for that type of stuff to really show up in data. And that's why I think the Beige Book is not anything we need to worry about much either way for the one previously released. I think it will take a little more time for that particular report to maybe show things if there are problems out there, or even show that there aren't problems. It's just too early, I think, to draw that conclusion.
Mike, good time for a break here. We're talking this morning with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. One more question about the Fed. I don't want to belabor the Fed, but it's interesting some of the things you read about what people think the Fed is going to do. Number one, a lot of people saying they're going to be cutting rates, and a lot even say by 50 basis points or so.
That's right.
Is that outlandish? Is that reasonable?
Well, I think it's more reasonable than it has been in a long time. But I'll still have to say, I said this last week, and I have not seen any more this week to make me think that they're going to lower rates. And I know that's the minority opinion out there. And believe me, I've talked to a lot of folks that I highly respect and pretty smart folks, and they are absolutely convinced that the Fed's going to lower rates on the 18th. They think it's just a question of how much. They think it's just a done deal. And I do agree when you look at, and I won't get into a lot of detail here, but when you look at certain parts of the bond market and certain parts of the Treasury bill market, the T-bill market as we call it, I do think the spread between some of these very short-term rates in the bond market and the Fed funds rate are too wide. And what you, it is a reasonable conclusion that as big as these spreads are, and I say big as the spreads are, just the difference in the rates, that it's reasonable, I think, to conclude that the Federal Reserve will lower rates to get that spread more in line with where most folks think it ought to be. And further in that analysis is where folks will say the bond market has already moved to reflect a Fed rate cut, and the Fed will simply follow that move. Now, that's totally reasonable. But at this point, if they were meeting today, I really don't think they would lower rates. I would be somewhat surprised if they did. Now, a lot can happen between now and the 18th, but and we'll obviously talk about this a time or two between now and then. But I just think it's also interesting to me that so many folks that think the Federal Reserve will lower rates. In the same conversation, so many of these folks talk about how resilient the market looks, how things look pretty good, how the economy looks to be okay. I heard one yesterday talking about retail sales better than expected, and back on that productivity number we talked about. They go through all these things that are pretty good, but yet they still think the Fed should lower rates to help everything. And I just have a problem with that line of thinking and that logic. But we'll see. I am clearly in the minority with that opinion, so we'll see how things go as we get closer to the meeting.
Well, as just a bystander, it just seems to me as I read some of these things and listen to some of these talking heads on the various financial programs that there's a lot of wishful thinking involved in that, it would seem to me.
Well, no question about it. I always tell folks that when you ask me what I think's going to happen in a particular area, Don't confuse what I think will happen with what I hope will happen. Those are sometimes two different things. And as I always tell folks, hope is not a viable investment approach. It's not about what you hope. It's about what you think's going to happen, and then you take it from there. So, yeah, and I think there's a lot out there of folks just rationalizing the Fed lowering interest rates because they happen to be in a particular camp, so to speak, that should benefit if the Fed lowers rates.
Right,
sometimes clouds of judgment.
Now, you mentioned retail sales. A lot of the nation's largest retailers reported some of their numbers yesterday. They were better than expected. What are you thinking about the consumer? I mean, are they doing a whole lot better than most thought? Obviously, they are.
Well, they appear to be, but what's tricky about this is I think maybe there was a bump more than some people were expecting with back-to-school type stuff. And I think the retail sales report that will matter more and carry much more weight will be the next one we get. If that one continues to be better than expectations, then I think it'll be a very valuable sign that the consumer has really not been affected that much by what's been going on in housing and mortgages and other things that have been hitting the market here the last few weeks. But there are just too many little factors in this particular report just announced that I would not draw too many conclusions from it just yet.
Need to pause, Mike. Give our sponsors a little time. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Back to the retail sales topic we were touching on just before the break. I guess the big time is this with the Christmas season. Obviously, between now and Christmas will be a major factor then as to what's going to happen.
Well, you know, it's funny. We're getting closer and closer to that period. And of course, you know how that always goes. You and I have been talking about this every year since I've been on the show. Someone's going to come out and predict and talk about how dismal Christmas will be. They do it every year. And so when that happens, I would not get too excited about it because it always happens. And so we'll watch for that, and I'm sure we'll talk about it.
Now, there was some foreclosure data that was released yesterday by the Mortgage Bankers Association. It was not positive. Now, I know in terms of housing, and we've talked about housing for years and years, and everybody that's listened to this program before knows that you are not an extremely positive individual when it comes to housing. Has your stance changed? If it has, I suspect it's probably changed for the worst.
Well, it's about the same. I mean, housing's not going to get better anytime soon, in my opinion. And it's pretty much tracked this year about like we had expected. No real surprises there. I will admit, 2 or 3 weeks ago, with some of that going on in the credit markets, I was beginning to think, as negative as we've been, that maybe we weren't negative enough. But I'm not quite ready to say that yet. I still think things are going to trend along about like we had expected. And as for housing to maybe get just a little worse, and what I mean by people are asking, well, what does that mean? What we mean by that is supplies of homes on the market continuing to go up some, and prices for homes continuing to drop some, and I don't see that scenario improving much anytime in the foreseeable future. And what I mean by that is anytime in the next 8 to 12 months. And what's interesting about that, we are factoring in, even if the Fed lowers interest rates some, I'm not sure that it's going to do a whole lot for housing in the short term. So we'll you know, keep tabs on that and go from there. But the interesting thing about housing, and I was talking to some individuals the other day, and we were talking about this, housing can continue to worsen, and it won't necessarily continue to be a problem with the stock market. And I don't want to confuse folks. people need to be real careful. If we're negative on housing and think housing is going to continue to get worse, it doesn't necessarily mean that we think the market's not going to be good, because at some point the market will price in, we talked about this last week, I think, it'll price in the worst-case scenario in housing, and then we'll go from there. And there is some belief out there by a lot of folks that the terrible day we saw in the market a couple of weeks or so ago on that Thursday, that was pricing in a worst-case scenario for housing, at least at this point. And there's certainly some validity to that way of thinking. And if housing stayed pretty much where it is for an extended period of time and didn't get better at all, we could still be in a constructive economic situation in a constructive market. So make sure folks separate the two there. I still think we'll see some problems announced in the future with some home builders, and I still think we'll see some continued problems with delinquencies and foreclosures. Mm-hmm.
One more time, Mike. I need to take a short break here. We're talking this morning with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management, looking at the market. We're going to be right back. Stand by. This is Floor Radio. This is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Now, with all the inventory of homes on the market, and assuming that the Fed does lower rates when they meet on the 18th, and they lower it by 50 basis points, would that shorten the time we're going to have a housing problem? You had said earlier you didn't think it would affect anything in the long term. I'm wondering if it would affect it. Would this mean that it would likely move up, say, in the third quarter? We could expect some sort of reaction by the third quarter of 2008, or would that have no effect at all?
Well, I can't think out that far as that precise, but I'll put it, I will say this. If the Fed does lower interest rates on the 18th, we will not really form an opinion on what it will do to housing, as far as helping housing, until we see what happens in the credit markets that were in such trouble 2 or 3 weeks ago and are still in some duress. There's no question. I don't think you'll see an initial huge positive reaction in the mortgage market and the credit markets related to housing when the Fed lowers rates. Now, you may see all kind of different reactions in other parts of the bond markets and, of course, the stock market, but let's just say the Fed lowered rates 25 basis points or even 50, as you mentioned. I'm not sure that's going to do a whole lot to help this mortgage reset problem. It's going to help, but the question is how much. And I think we'll get a sense of the situation with the Fed maybe helping that by looking at the bond market and looking at the mortgage market. And if that market begins to act like it's much more stable and maybe getting back more to normal, then I think it would be safe to say at that point that maybe the rate cuts, if they come, will have a pretty positive impact on housing. So what I'm getting at there is, if we get the rate cut, we'll look at reactions to it and go from there. I'm just not convinced that the reaction will be quite as positive as quickly as some people may think.
I see. Let me switch over, Mike. We haven't talked about any of the companies in the flooring business here for some time, Mohawk and Interface in particular. They both seem to have been on a downturn lately. Anything jump out at you about any of these two stocks?
Well, they're acting about like I would have expected. Now that's not to say I was predicting this necessarily, but if you look at what's going on in the market, and you look at what have been the problem areas in the economy of late, I think they're doing about what you would expect. And if you look at if you go back, say, 3 months or so to give you a perspective on what these stocks were doing before we had a lot of these problems in the credit markets and the bond markets and housing and all of that. Mohawk was pretty much tracking right along with the S&P, and folks may remember Mohawk was in that just above 100 for a while there, and then started a pretty decent down move. I guess it's down right around 15% or so from the levels, say, 3 months ago. The S&P during that time is down about 5%. And that's about what I would expect, considering that Mohawk has the exposure it has to housing and the perception out there about how a company involved in floor covering could see the negative impact of what we're seeing in the housing market. So that makes sense to me. If you look at Interface, same period of time about 3 months ago, Interface is basically flat during that period of time. Again, when the S&P is down about 5%, Interface though, and Dave, you may know better than I do. I don't want to say no exposure to housing, but if there is any, it's minimal.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then Interface is mainly commercial.
That's correct.
And the commercial part of the real estate market, and we actually do a lot of work in that part of the real estate market. And you and I have mentioned in the past when we were talking about housing several times when we would say real estate, I was quick to make sure people understood there is a difference between residential real estate and commercial industrial real estate. And making sure we made that distinction periodically. And Interface, again, basically flat during this turmoil, or during the last 3 months, I should say. It came down from the highs. I think Interface peaked right around July 16th or 15th, somewhere right in there. And it's had a decent move down since then. But if you go back on the three-month scale, it's about flat. So my point there is, with more commercial exposure with Interface, I would expect to see it maybe not quite as impacted by this, but just recently you could see about that type drop that Mohawk's had from the high. You could see about that same drop with Interface from its high. And I think what's going on there is when this credit market, when all these credit market problems started, a lot of the commercial real estate sector was impacted at that point. And there's still some valid concerns out there, I think, with this whole credit issue, even as it applies to the commercial market. So, and that's just another layer of this whole thing we've been talking about, and another thing that has to be monitored. And that's another area, if we begin to see stabilization in the commercial credit markets, it'll give us more signs that maybe we've seen the worst. So that's just another area we'll watch, and another area being impacted by all this.
I got you. Mike, we need to pause here for a couple of minutes. Mike Barker's with us from Investment and Retirement Management. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. This is Floor Radio. Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. Mike Barker's with us this morning from Investment and Retirement Management. Mike, you mentioned a week or so ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, that you thought that the market was running into an area where it'd be more difficult to see an upside move. And you also said at that time that you thought this volatility was going to continue. It seems like that's what we're seeing. What are your thoughts as to why this situation is occurring?
Yeah, it's this volatility is going to continue, in my opinion. I think it's been maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago when we first started saying to watch for this, and I think it's as much a psychology thing as anything. And there are also so many things brewing out there that could lead to another blow up, so to speak, or another shoot or drop, however you want to phrase it. And as long as that anxiety is out there, the market's going to be skittish, nervous, anxious, whatever you want to call it. And every time you get a report of an entity in trouble or in potential trouble due to a lot of these things going on lately, It could cause some more upset and some more nervousness. And the reason that I think is still on the table is what markets tend to do is, for example, when the Dow went below 13,000 not too many days ago, and had that terrible Thursday we keep talking about right before the Fed lowered the discount rate that next Friday morning. A lot of negative stuff, in our opinion, was discounted in the market at that point. And then we've had a pretty nice up move since then. And really what we've done is we've gone back up into the range that's in this, say, 13,200 to, say, 13,500 range on the Dow. And as long as we're in that range, it's going to be a little difficult to get much going on the upside. Unless we get some pretty significant upside surprises. And until we get that, I think it'll just be tricky here to get much going. I do think some of the downside risk has been dealt with what we saw a couple of weeks ago, unless we get some big surprises on the negative side. So what I'm getting at there is this volatility, I think, will continue, especially in this range. And we've seen that this week. And the reason I point this out, if we have a day where we're up 150 points and we're still below 13, say 13.5 or 6, we're not going to get too excited about it. But on the same token, if we have a day where we're down 150 and we're still above 13,000, we're not going to get too excited on the negative side about that either. So as long as we're in this range here, I would not get too excited or distressed over any kind of moves. If we break this range on the downside, it'll be a whole different ball game, in my opinion. And if the Dow, I mean, just talking about the Dow, if we can get above 13,600 on the Dow with good technicals and good volume, it could get pretty interesting on the upside all over again. So I think that's the scenario we're in at the moment. And as long as we're in this range, I would not get too excited either way.
Just to sum up, Mike, what are you going to be focusing on going forward, at least for the short term?
I think the biggest thing, again, is the credit markets and the bond markets, and that's just not everyday conversation to a lot of people, and I'm certainly aware of that. But it is what's the most important thing, in my opinion. The stock market, I think, is taking its cues from the credit market and what's going on in bonds and interest rates. So we're continuing to put most of our primary focus on that. And the other thing we're seeing, too, is, and I'll spare you the detail here, but in the technicals of the stock market, we're continuing to see some pretty constructive activity underneath the surface, so to speak. And as long as that can continue, which we think it will, unless we get out of this range we've talked about on the downside, when we see these things underneath the surface improving like they are, it helps us continue to be constructive on the market. And we'll continue to operate with that mindset until some of these technicals deteriorate the other way. But at this point, we're watching those technicals, and we're continuing to focus on the credit markets. It's a little bit too soon, I think, to look for a whole lot of pre-announcements on the earnings front, so we're not really focused on that too much at the moment. But those first two things, I think, is where most of the attention should be.
I got you. Well, keep your eyes open for us, Mike.
Okay, we'll do it.
Who knows what's going to be happening here over the next week?
That is the truth.
you have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You too, Dave. Talk to you next week.
You got it. We've been talking with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management. This is Floor Radio.